Dear friends in Christ, holy people, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may already know, but the first use of any form of the word love in John's Gospel is in that beloved passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John, the apostle of love, he waits for that climactic moment right in the heart of the gospel to introduce the word love to us. Love originates in the Father. God is love. Originates in Christ, and we are the objects of that love. The Father's love to us is fulfilled in the sending of his beloved, eternally begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now in our text, we hear again of God's love. And today's reading is classic John. He says so much in so few words. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. Now we hear that the Father who loved us by sending his Son into the world in our flesh and blood loves us even to the uttermost, to the end. He loves us by calling us his children. There might be two ways of hearing that last phrase, and so we are. God calls us his children, and so we are. Certainly, John is teaching us that wonderful truth that when God calls something, he calls it into existence. Paul teaches in Romans 4 that God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. So he calls the disciples, and by the effective power of that call, they are disciples. In the same way, he calls apostles and pastors, and so they are. The gospel in word and sacraments are always his doing, his effective call. He is working faith when and where it pleases him in those who hear the gospel. Today he calls us the children of God. So we confess that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. And we continue in the same way he calls the whole Christian church on earth. Thus he calls his church into existence and me along with the rest and names us children of God. And for this purpose, the God who so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son loved them to the uttermost by instituting the baptism of water and of the Spirit, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, the adoption as sons. He calls us as his children. And he sends that call out into the world, go, he says, and he calls us daily in this word, calling us children of God, righteous people, saints, and so we are. And so we are. It might be prudent to hear those words as, no, really, we are. By faith, we agree with the Holy Scriptures that baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. That's the promise. We are children. He has called us to that, but in fact, we don't know that by sight, not according to our feelings and the experience of our mortal and sinful flesh. What we experience is so unlike children of God, so opposite of that exalted status. children of God with our weaknesses, failures, our sicknesses, yes, even death. And worse yet, God puts the mirror of his law before us, and we see this persistent sinner, hard of heart, incorrigible, unloving, fruitless when we ought to be fruitful. We are so far short of our status as the righteous and holy child of God. Nevertheless, by the call of the gospel and holy baptism, we are God's children. No, really, we are. We are, in fact, simultaneously original sinners and righteous children of God. In our text, John gently draws us into this contradiction. The reason why the world did not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. You know who he is, Jesus. The world did not know Jesus when he came in the humility of our flesh and blood. He was in the world, John says, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Jesus was without sin, in that respect not like us, though he bore our sin. But in all other points, he was like us, or in John's words, we are like him. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They did not believe the word of the Father in his baptism, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." They mocked him when they were calling him the Son of God, hanging on a cross, cursed by God, dying. The world did not know him, not then, not now. And so the world does not know us. Our baptism is obscure to them, just as the baptism of Christ was. They do not believe God's declaration, "This is my beloved Son," or the proclamation, "Your sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not count iniquities." They do not see our righteousness before God, our holiness, for it is a preached righteousness and a sacramental holiness. We are hidden. We children of God, we saints and holy people. In fact, we do not even see it ourselves, but know it only by faith in Christ, according to his promises. St. Paul says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Paul was teaching us how our divine sonship is bound up with, is located with Christ in God. You were buried with Christ in his death to sin. You have been raised with Christ in life to God. Now Christ is ascended to the Father, where we see him no more. And yet, as we carry out our lives of vocation, doing the works God has given us to do, he says, "Therefore, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your mind on the things above." But the truth of our life in Christ is hidden from our sight and from the sight of the world, yet with today's promise that what is hidden will someday be revealed. We call to mind those who have died and gone on before us. The names and the faces come before our eyes. Lydia and Marie and Marianne, You know the list of your own. As pastor, you stand at the deathbed or in the hospital at those who are sick. You receive those who are struggling with sin, agonizing under the temptations of the devil and the world and our sinful flesh. And what John has to say comes before us. What we will be has not yet appeared. But we hear these words with great hope. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure, John says, pointing us to that hope of what is yet to come. And Paul says, but when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Which takes us back to our text where John writes, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Then the original sinner will be dead forever, and the mortal will be swallowed up in immortality. Then we too shall be transformed in the beatific vision of our Lord Jesus Christ, our dearest and truest and only treasure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.